0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Brendan Rodgers says Hibs are the toughest team they could have faced in an attempt to wrap up the league. Neil Lennon addresses reports he's interested in signing Kenny Miller. And St Mirren have two players amongst those shortlisted for PFA Scotland's Player of the Year in the Championship. It's Thursday night and you know what that means. I'm joined by Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Gordon, another fascinating weekend in store after what could be described as a busy week, I would say, after the fallout from the weekend's games.
Correct.
You know what, rumbles on. It's now hopefully back to league business and the Championship could be settled. Celtic travelling to Easter Road, hoping for a title party. Neil Lennon hoping to stop that and hoping to catch Rangers and Aberdeen ahead. And for Rangers, a big game in store. Can their players get back to football and matters on the pitch and secure second place? Another big weekend to look forward to.
Quite simply, Gordon, do you expect Celtic to become champions this weekend, or does it rumble on till they play Rangers next weekend?
I do agree with what Brendan Rodgers came out and said, that you wouldn't have liked to have picked a harder game than Hibs. Hibs are the team for me that's they've been informed. Terrific side, they're an exciting side. Neil Lennon's done a terrific job there. Be a packed house, great atmosphere, Gordon. But I just think that Celtic have got the quality and I think they'll go over the line this weekend.
Plenty at stake this weekend then. Celtic and Hibs go head to head in the capital, and it could well be the game which clinches Celtic the title. And then of course Sunday, Rangers. As if the past week hasn't been hectic enough, we now turn our attentions to a massive, massive game indeed. Give us your thoughts, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? He says he couldn't be happier as Celtic boss. He also claimed he couldn't have wished for a more successful first couple of years, but he does hope to see that continue as long as he's here.
That was my aim coming in. As a supporter of the club, I had to put that aside and really come into here and want to, for the length of time I was here, create something that would inspire the supporters and try to give them as many happy moments as possible. That's, you know, from being a fan and knowing how they support this club and how great the supporters are here, it was try to give them as many highs as we possibly could. So that hasn't changed for me. There's still a lot of work for me here to do, to achieve, from on the pitch and off the pitch. But you can only do that if you're happy. And for me, I couldn't be happier at this club. The support I get, you know, from the board, it's all very aligned. It's very clear. And that allows me to work in confidence. And then it gives the stability to the team and for the staff and everyone, and we can all move forward. Listen, I couldn't have wished for it to have gone any better. You always hope you come into a club and hopefully you can make an impact. I think what was important for us that we could start quickly. But that's all down to the players and their ability to learn and take on board. And they've been absolutely fantastic. You know, I've talked to them about this ferocious intent to keep improving and keep developing. And I see that every single day. So they can then take that onto the field and they can try and grasp the opportunities. So from that perspective, it's been a joy to see that. And like I say, we want to continue with that.
Now, in terms of this weekend, Rodgers believes Hibs are the hardest opponents they could have faced as they look to wrap up the title at Easter Road on Saturday. The Edinburgh side have drawn twice with Celtic in the league this season, and Rodgers reckons Neil Lennon will be determined to delay the title party.
Neil and his team have done great this season. They've always been a difficult opponent to play. We've played, what, four times, I think, this year already in the Cup as well. So no, it's always a difficult game. But it's a game that we always go into. We've worked well this week. Players have a good confidence. And like I say, we'll prepare for a tough game. Of course, you win a semi-final against one of your great rivals, then of course that there's a good feeling in that. But very quickly, you have to move on to the next game. And our next game gives us an opportunity to wrap up the league. So if we can do it, great. If not, we've got another four games to go. The most important thing is to is to win the title. But of course, you want to win it as soon as you can. And knowing Neil like I do, he will be doing everything he possibly can to do that. You know, he's got also his professional pride as well. He wants his team, who have been great this year for him, to continue with their challenge in the league. So yeah, it was probably the most difficult game we could have had to go and play against. But we respect that and get ready for it.
I appreciate this may differ from manager to players to fans. Everyone's got their own take on it. Generally, you really want to win the league as soon as you possibly can, mm-hmm. because it shows how dominant you've been.
Yeah.
Is this a different situation because the Celtic fans know that even if they don't win this weekend, they've got the chance to do it against Rangers?
Yeah, I think there's an element of the support, and a lot of supporters I've spoke to this week or since the fixtures came out would prefer that, wouldn't mind losing to Hibs. Now, I know there's a full connection with Neil Lennon, previous manager, and that, and they say, oh, I wouldn't mind that because, you know, Hibs then cut the gap perhaps on Rangers and they get the chance to win it. However, as a player, I would want it wrapped up as soon as possible. Now, if you, I know it's only a matter of time, but you take it, you lose against Hibs, rolls into the Rangers game, such a big thing, it's such a high pressure game, and you don't perform in that game, there's two games ticked off right away, you know. So you run the risk of rumbling on to close to the end of the season. For me as a player, I'd want to go to Easter Road and put on a confident display, plenty of goals, get the league wrapped up, and then enjoy next week's game against Rangers.
Plus the fact, Mark, it's professional pride. As much as Celtic fans will come on here and think, do you know, it doesn't matter about the weekend because we'll do it against Rangers, it'll be sweeter. Hibs, as you correctly say, they're going for second place, try to close that gap in Aberdeen and Rangers. But if you're going to win a league, and especially the season that, you know, the two seasons under Brendan Rodgers that Celtic have gone through, they don't want to just think, well, it's easy to lose a game at the weekend because we'll still win the league. I think Brendan Rodgers will be saying to his players, listen, we want this league tied up as quickly as we possibly can, and then you can have joy in the way in, I couldn't say that word there, the remainder of the league, and look forward to the Scottish Cup final in May the 19th, Gordon. So, no, I think the way Brendan Rodgers has went about his business here, I think you'll be looking to put this to bed at the weekend.
Celtic fans, when would you rather, if that's even an appropriate question, when would you rather wrap the title up? 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Ian's in Greenock. Hi, Ian.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Mark. Good evening, Gordon.
Hello.
How are you?
Mark Wilson.
Yes.
Good evening, mate.
Evening.
Is it true with Scott Payne? I just read on the web pages on that he wants to sign for Celtic. Can you let me on that?
Listen, I can't inform you, but
I think any time he's spoken about it, he's said the right things, if you like, as has Brendan Rodgers. So yeah, I mean,
I don't think there'd be any surprise that I'm wanting to sign for Celtic. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised that Brendan Rodgers, he's come out, or you hear rumours that Celtic want to sign him. I think he came in, and for the short time he was in goals, I thought he did no wrong at all. The disappointing thing for him is he's got the best goalkeeper in Scotland ahead of him. So and the rules are, you know what it's like. Number one, if you're injured, okay, you're out of the team, but as soon as you're fit, you're back in. So that's the only thing. But I wouldn't be surprised. I think Celtic need a goalkeeper like him to back Craig Gordon up, because Craig Gordon's not getting any younger, I'll tell you that. No. And he's not going to last forever.
35.
Is he even older? Is he 35?
36 maybe. 36.
He's around that age, so I mean, Scott Bain, I think, would be a good signing.
Great backup keeper.
A great backup keeper, but it's, you
he
know,
is 35, by the way.
It's how many. Scott Bain will have to think, how many games realistically am I going to get? Am I going to sit on the bench for three seasons?
Well, if you remember, we played an interview with Scott Bain not too long ago where he actually said even if he wasn't number one, he still thinks Celtic would be a good place for him.
Mm. Well,
remember that? I'm not sure if it was one of the nights you guys were on.
Yeah, but I can understand that, because obviously it's a massive club and things are going terrifically well for them. But I think sometimes as a player, and I think you look at the goalkeeping situation, You've got Craig Gordon there, as Mark touched on. It's not like you can go and challenge the other positions. That, you know, you look at McGregor, for instance, this season, he's played at left back, he's played wide left, he's played in off the striker. So there are three or four options there for different players that can play different positions. Unfortunately, the goalie puts his gloves on the one position. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Bain decided to go to Celtic, because as Ian touched on, since he's come in, I think he'll be good for Craig Gordon as well, because he'll give him that push that he needs as well, just to say, look, I've got pressure on me, and every player likes that.
Yep.
But it's just up to yourself to look at his career and think, if Craig Gordon and goalkeepers, you can touch on 35, goalkeepers can go for, Craig Gordon can go for another 3-4 years. If he's injury free, easily in Scottish football playing with Celtic, he can go on and on and on. Are you prepared to sit and wait your chance? That's a big question for a player.
Ian?
Yep, aye. Brilliant. I think he's a great backup goalkeeper. And as I say, Craig Gordon was outstanding. Well, I'm saying outstanding. He never had a lot of day. The two saves that he pulled off of, the headers, and then obviously the sitter, the Morelos missed. Obviously, that boy's luck's done against Celtic. But I've got two more points, Gordon. You were talking about the league, when they're going to win it. I would say the league was won 3 weeks ago at Ibrox. I think Gordon was commentating on it, or he was up at it, and Mark will agree to me that the league was over. So these five games, whether it's against Hibs, whether it's going to be against Rangers, the five games will take care of themselves. And one other thing I want to say to Gordon, Gordon Duncan, yourself, you pick up the teasers, don't you?
I do.
Right, I've got a cracker for you.
Right, you send it in. You're a bit early, but it's full time at Clyde1.com. Fire it over.
I've got it, because I spoke to Andy about it. It's a cracker, mate.
Right, I look forward to that. We'll get to that a bit later on in the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Gordon, for having me.
Not a problem.
All the best for the rest of the show, guys.
Great stuff. That was Ian in Greenock. Keep your calls coming. 0141 951 1025. Jason Gilmartin says, would much rather just win the league this weekend against Hibs, and then he says, and enjoy your guard of honour from Rangers next weekend at home. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure
that's
if that'll happen.
Yeah.
On the subject of Scott Bain, Raffles is on. He says, the only drawback with Bain is he's about 6 foot. Yes, there have been great small goalies, but it is rare these days. So a number of opinions coming in. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need to get in touch on the phones. And that's exactly what Jim in Springburn has done. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Gordon. Mark and Gordon.
Hi, Jim.
For personal reason, I hope Celtic that the league up on Saturday. I work Sundays and I pull strings every other time Celtic Rangers play, and I would just like to enjoy it. I don't think I'm going to get next Sunday off. Enjoy it this Saturday.
Listen, I don't mind that. Jim's just looking after himself.
Get it done. I've not got the day off.
Number
one, mate, look after number one.
That's it.
Just enjoy it, and then we can take care of Rangers. That'll take care of itself anyway. And the last call I talked about Scott Bain, I think he'd be a great addition. Craig Gordon does no wrong. He's a big time. He saves a lot of great saves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He pulls out extraordinary saves, like he did twice in the Saturday.
That's the thing with Craig Gordon. Now, he gets a stick from a lot of Celtic fans, or did, should I say, for the ball being at his feet. And there's no doubt he improved that. You know, he must have worked in it day after day in training, improved it. No doubt about that. But what was never in question was how good he was. Point blank saves, shot stop him, he was outstanding. And that was never in question. And again, Jim's right. The saves on Sunday, where you've got nothing to do for large parts of the game, and you have to pull off, what was it, three saves in quick succession like that. That's how he's the best goalkeeper in Scotland. And it will be hard if Scott Bain stays to dislodge him, because he can only be dropped when he starts making mistakes. So that's how it's a big decision for Bain. However, Craig Gordon, never been in doubt over his actual goalkeeping and shot-stopping ability.
Mrs. Celtic Match Warners on Twitter says, we've all got a wee place in our hearts for Neil Lennon, but football is football, so Celtic should wrap this up on Saturday. On the other side of it, how because everybody knows what's at stake for Celtic. And by the way, someone did point out on Twitter, this conversation is going along the lines of assuming that Aberdeen and Rangers win their games this weekend, which of course they may not. Let's not get carried away with too many different scenarios. Everyone knows what's at stake for Celtic. The incentive is there to go and win the league. What's it like being on the other side for Hibs? Because you hear about this being, you know, desperate to spoil the party. How much does that genuinely commit?
I think, yeah, you always want to spoil the party. There's a great saying in football, don't let them celebrate. You don't want to be in the dressing room listening to the opposition celebrate and win the league. But I think it's completely different this time, because you look at the prize money, you look at the first season that Hibs have come back up into the top league. They've been absolutely terrific. They must look at Aberdeen and Rangers at the weekend and think, on that forum with those two clubs, we could catch them. And it starts at the weekend. The first one's a massive one against Celtic, who are coming to win the league in your home ground. So Neil Lennon, and he is it, and Mark played under him, he's a real Celtic guy. He's done a terrific job at Hibs, but he will be desperate to win that game. For a selfish reason as well, to get closer to Rangers and Aberdeen.
Second place. I think Neil, he's saying all the right things in the press. He must be looking at that league table just now and realistically thinking,
3 points behind.
Yeah, must be thinking, with those fixtures, like we're saying, coming up, you know, Rangers in all sorts of turmoil just now, you know, playing Hearts, it'll be a tough game. And then Aberdeen away to Killie. Now, the run that Killie's on is incredible. So Neil must be thinking, look, if we get this right, we could actually finish second. Now that would be a remarkable achievement, to think Hibs, where they were, to finish in second.
And then on that, to be fair, from Celtic's point of view, Fuzzy makes a similar point on Twitter. That's why Celtic simply have to try and take care of business this weekend, because you could end up in a scenario where Celtic win the league this weekend without even winning. You know, if Rangers and Aberdeen were to lose their games, and it just sort of
we went to start with Manchester, Man City. You know, and you see Guardiola coming off the golf.
It would then be Sunday, you know, Celtic having played on the Saturday.
They want to celebrate. There'll be a packed house at Easter Road, and you've got to say the atmosphere at Easter Road is terrific as well. And I think it'll be a real good game. But you want to get that League One on the day, I think. I think it makes so much enjoyment to you.
Neil Lennon has been talking about Graham Murty. He's defending Graham Murty, and he's been asked about those reports that Hibs want to sign Kenny Miller, given what's happened this week. If you want to hear the answer to that, it's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you want to join us, then please do give us a call, or you can send a tweet as well. That's exactly what John Paul Monaghan's done. He says he fancies Celtic strongly on Saturday by a few goals. We're on a high after Sunday's semi-final and want the title wrapped up as soon as possible. 3-0 with goals from Dembele, Rogic and Cham. He's got it all figured out.
Don't tell us, get down the bookies if he's that confident.
John knows the lottery numbers. Pass them on, he's got it. Anyway, at Clyde SSB is where we are on Twitter if you want to send your thoughts, and it's 0141 951 1025. And this one, I have no idea, I'm not that technologically minded, but Enter Sandman says, can you say hi to Mandy from Joe and John, because we're over the Atlantic on our way to Boston listening to the show online. I hope you enjoy your holiday.
Flying?
Apparently so.
No way. I've said this before. When I leave Glasgow, I can't get it on the radio. So how are they getting it?
He says, ain't tech great, and a wee thumbs up and an American flag. I don't know. I don't ask these questions.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, you believe in that?
0141 951 1025. Get in touch with, let's hear from Neil Lennon, because he has got a big part to play this weekend, obviously up against Celtic, but he's been leaping to the defence of Rangers boss Graham Murty. Says the blame should be pointed towards the players and the board for the recent form. Lennon believes Murty's been put in a difficult position, and he's urging him to stick it out through this difficult period.
I think Graham's in a really difficult position, because he's been interim manager for what, 5-6 months now? 5 months. So what does that say to the players? Things going well, oh yeah, this is great. Things don't go so well, well, he's not the manager. So I think he's been put in a very difficult position. And I think some of the players, you know, obviously need to look at themselves as well. I don't mind conflict in the dressing room, you know.
You've had it.
Plenty of times. And I've got, you know, the right reaction that I want. I don't think there's... It shows that maybe some of them care more about it than some others. Maybe it's not the be-all and end-all, but it's a natural emotion to be bitterly disappointed after a poor performance. The same players under Caixinha. You know, the majority of them are the same players under Caixinha. So that wasn't Graham's fault at the start of the season. So maybe some of those players need to look at themselves and say, you know what, I've not done enough this season.
What advice would you have for him at this moment?
Dig in. Dig in. You know, it's a difficult week for him. It's part... Being a manager is not a bed of roses. You know, it's not all fluffy and everything's great. You know, you're going to have bad experiences. You're going to get the sack at some stage. That's probably a guarantee. Utilise the experience to your benefit. You know, try and come out stronger if you can. And the only way you can do that is to galvanise the dressing room and get them playing as well as they can.
Now, of course, the reason that that's been on Neil Lennon's mind is given what's happened in the last couple of days. You know the story by now. Lee Wallace and Kenny Miller suspended by Rangers. Well, Lennon played with Miller at Celtic. He says the striker's always been opinionated, but never a disruptive influence in his experience. The Hibs boss admitted he did try to sign Miller at the start of this season, but he brushed off any rumours of signing him next season as simply being paper talk.
Well, he had an opinion, but he was well respected. I respected him. He's, as a teammate, I liked him. I liked playing him. Give everything on the pitch. His movement, everything. I think he's a very mentally strong character. I don't know if he's crossed the line or not. There's an investigation going on. I wasn't privy to it. I don't know the story to it. So it may be blown out of proportion. But Kenny is a winner. You know, his career has been fantastic. He's 38 and still very, very fit. And that is testament to being a very good professional, not one that just chucks in the towel.
You've been linked with him, is that paper talk? Or
it's paper talk. He's nearly as old as me. Good player, though. You know, tried to get him at the start of the season, and, you know, like him a lot, but at the minute, he's a Rangers player, and that's just speculation.
Do you think he's capable of another year at this level?
Well, he had a bad injury, you know, and that curtailed the season, and he's come back. And he's always been fit, Kenny, naturally fit, and looks after himself really well. So I don't see why not.
Yeah, it's Neil Lennon sticking up for the managers. He knows how difficult it is to be a manager, Gordon. He was a very experienced player. He's probably been one of these players that went in and had a dig at a few of his teammates. And then when you go on the other side to become a manager, then you've got to be strong and you've got to make sure that you back your decision. So Neil understands the game inside out. He's been in it. He's experienced at it. So he's obviously going to stick by Graham Murty. And I wasn't expecting Neil to come out and say anything, because at the end of the day, it's not Neil's club. It's not his problem. He's got bigger things to look at, and it starts at the weekend against Celtic.
Always, just when Neil's saying there, Kenny, you know, Kenny's a very good professional. I was there at Celtic when he came, and you know, he very well respected, and he has got an opinion. I do remember that, and I remember we were in Washington pre-season, and he just arrived at the club, and we got thumped 4-0, I think, from DC United, first pre-season game, and I'm sure Kenny got sent off, and in the dressing room after it, there was Gordon Strachan wasn't pleased at all, obviously. Going through his, and I think Kenny piped up to say something and just been beat, I think, 4-0. And Gordon just turned around to him and says, "Kenny, never mind your shoulda, woulda, couldas. Never mind." And he just zipped it straight away. And that was really the last time he ever tried, in my memory anyway, tried to challenge Gordon. He tried to say something, didn't have the best game, sent off, and tried to say something. Gordon just nipped it in the bud, and that was it. And that's the way Gordon Strachan dealt with it. Very difficult for Graham Murty. Again, we don't know what happened in that dressing room, but very difficult for Graham Murty as an interim to deal with such an experienced player when he's piping up. If that's happened, so Neil's right, every sympathy, because I don't think a lot is Graham Murty's fault. You've got to look above him at how long he's been in that role and you've got to look at the players who perform the way they do when they're on the pitch. Never mind tactics, performances aren't good enough.
And in the 4-0 defeat, how many of them were your fault?
Four. I think there was three. You know who I was playing against that night?
Actually,
you know who I was playing against that night? Remember the boy Freddy Adu?
Yes, he was like 14 or something. He was supposed
14,
to be an absolute
wonderkid. And this guy was
kid.
The next Pele, and he was playing against me.
I thought,
I got him that price tag. I got him the price tag of 30 million.
So it's your fault?
Then he went to hell when he started playing against decent players.
John's in Paisley. Hi, John.
Good evening, gentlemen. Mark Wilson, I totally disagree with you turning and saying there it's no Marty's fault.
No.
Totally disagree with you. See, this excuse has not been in the job long enough. Two weeks ago, we competed with Celtic, right?
Yeah.
And on Sunday there was a total embarrassment. And he put that team out. He put Andy Halliday on the park. What his tactics were, I really don't know what his tactics were. And it's him. Put the players out in the park. You can see the players, but tactically, we hadn't played, know what system he was playing, right? But he put that team out in the park. So don't hit me with excuses, no experience and all this. I don't wear that one. It wasn't 3 weeks ago you were all bumming him up to be, you know what I mean, all the Rangers are challenging for the league and blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden it's no Marty's fault.
So it's his fault. It's his fault for the way your players performed on the pitch.
Listen,
I've been in a dressing room. Never mind tactics. Take tactics out of it and you're saying I don't know systems. Rangers had 11 players on the pitch against 11
lost.
Celtic players.
But
and not one player get anywhere near a Celtic player. Tell me on the pitch how that is Graham Murray's fault.
Graham Murray put a team out in a system that nobody knew he was playing, right? And they looked lost. They looked totally lost.
Yeah, so...
And you got in a team, you just said...
So how can... See if a Rangers player can he pass to another Rangers player and they're kicking the ball at the pitch and they're missing and they're no tackling. What can Graham Murray do about that?
But hold it. To start with, we were on the back foot right away because nobody knew what they were doing. That's right. He tactically...
So they don't know what they're doing. I tell you what they know they were doing. They were going out to try and beat Celtic.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Mark, it did look like the... Did it not at least look like perhaps they had been instructed to sit off Celtic?
And if that's the case,
then that would be Graham Murphy's decision.
It's very easy, and John's an angry Ranger supporter, and I can totally understand. It's very easy to criticise Graham Murphy because I said before a ball was kicked, I couldn't understand what the formation he was playing, the sense of bringing Andy Halliday back in after 20 minutes against Dundee. He'd just come back for loan. He hadn't appeared. This was the biggest game. Now, Graham Murphy, as a manager of the club, forget this interim, he's a manager of the club, they call him Gaffer, he wanted him to call him Gaffer, he's a gaffer of the club. He's got the responsibility, pick the team and the tactics. Now, he got it wrong. But football players nowadays get off lightly and they hide behind a football manager. Mark's right, it doesn't matter if you go out there and you think, this is the wrong tactics, this is the wrong team. You've got to roll your... Especially in a game of that size against Celtic and a semi-final of the Scottish Cup, it was atrocious. And Murphy must take, yes, big part of that blame. But don't let the players hide behind the manager here.
Well,
and everybody's talking... Hold on, John. Everybody's talking about... I've chuckled all week about this. Well, Kenny Miller's and the Lee Wallaces come out because they're winners and they're hurting. Are you kidding me on? It's the easiest place in the world to get in a dressing room, start shouting and swearing. It's the hardest place to go. And I know Wallace and Miller weren't playing, but you've got Halliday's and all that, Candeas walking off. Disgraceful behaviour. So, see, instead of walking off and having a dig and shouting and swearing and blaming everybody else, why not go out and roll your sleeves up and try and get within 15 yards of Scott Brown? And that's where I think that the Rangers fans were let down. Yes, Murphy takes the blame, but we're giving the easy ride to Rangers players. Oh, they've got opinion, it shows they care. No, it doesn't. You've got to care on the park, that's where it counts.
Gordon, can I say something?
Yeah.
He's suspending these two experienced players, right? And we're going for second in the league. I couldn't care less what they said in the dressing room. You pick yourself up and go on, mate, right? At this time of the season, he goes and suspends two players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because whatever they've said, right? Whatever they've said, man, it's what you said before. People have had fights and everything in dressing rooms.
Yeah, but it must have, John. We can all
It's speculation, of course, speculate because
you didn't hear it. On things that we hear and everything,
but
right?
But for Graham,
but
I suppose the question is, John. I suppose the question is, right? If Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace have undermined the manager, how is he supposed to get a tune out of the other 20 players in that dressing room if they know they can speak to him whatever
and,
way they
and
want?
And John, is this well, not how, the what? Second time? And I said, is this if, not the I second time if, it's happened? Did it not happen under Kashinia that was Wallace not told to stay away?
Well, Kenny Miller was down at Brentford for kids, didn't he?
So that's two managers, two separate managers, and it's the same two players that's had a go. And but again, we don't know what's happened. John, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just verbal. But for the club to take a stand for two different managers, something's not right there.
Thank you to John and Paisley. Mark, what was the sort of worst ding dong you saw between a player and a manager, if you like?
Oh God.
Fight what? Over a hair gel.
Aye, I know that was either.
Bearing in mind, Mark tells us every week, Gordon, that he's played with
everyone.
So he must have seen something in his time.
No, like the relationship, there was a few, and especially when I was a kid, you know, because football was different there. The one that sticks in my head, it was again verbal, but Aidan McGeady and Gordon Strachan didn't particularly get on. But Aidan was a fantastic player, and Gordon knew he was, so he played him. And it was just a case, I think Aidan got subbed one game, we didn't win. And after the game, Celtic Park, there was a big battle. And Gordon kept his cool for most of it, and Aidan got a bit heated. And I mean, that was about as heated as I remember. I mean, it never came to blows or anything like that, but separating, and it got a bit out of hand a wee bit. And it got resolved, you know, fine. I think it's less and less now in the game. Mm. I mean, when you played, it must have been full of fights because it was different characters.
What do you mean when I played?
1960, mm-hmm. whatever.
So you've never you've never had a burst. Well, I'll talk about the dressing room. You've never had a burst up.
Me had a burst up. When I was manager. Oh, I didn't
turn it over here.
I did have a burst up, that's right. Forgot about that one. When I was with Airdrie. Aye.
All right. Okay.
Aye. Have we got time for this? Is there another call?
You carry on.
Now, listen, at Airdrie we were going for this record of how many league games won in a row, and we played Stenhouse Muir before the Christmas night out, and I wish Stenhouse won it, and we were 2-0 or 3-0 down at half time. Big centre half Daniel Boateng gets sent off right in the stroke of half time. They score the free kick. Anyway, we're having a shocker. So it's a minute before half time. Obviously I go in, I'm fuming, have a go at him. And the big man who's about 6'7".
And all you can hear is, tell him, Gordon, for the toilet.
And obviously I had a go at him. The big man stands up, challenges kind of in the dressing room, and obviously he can't back down, so twos were going at it. And
I've seen the size of this
and,
guy.
Huge. Daft. And to be fair to the big man, he turned and seen the size of me, walked out the dressing room door, and then he came in about 30 seconds later, sat down. Monday morning came in the office, to his chatted, he apologised, says fine, and that was the end of that. So, and no blows at all, though. Verbal.
The cynics out there may say that's why Mark Wilson's back here with us on a Thursday night. I don't know. 01419511025, if you want to join us. Stephen in Stonywood thinks that King has thrown Murty under the bus. His call is coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
It's Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. A few tweets coming in of the various subjects that we have covered. Sean Russell, for instance, says Rangers have too many passengers. We get overrun in the middle of the park week in, week out. Some quality players that aren't turning up. And then this account, Celtic's march to 10 in a row. Wonder which team this tweeter supports. And he says, I tweet every night and never hear my message ever acknowledged. Well, here you go. He says, wrapping up the title at Paradise, perfect. However, Celtic won't take the foot off the gas. Brendan won't allow it. Competition for places, and anyone who doesn't turn up and play may risk losing their place in the cup final. Keep your thoughts coming. We're on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Stephen is in Stonywood. Hi, Stephen. Hello, Stephen. I mean, I can hear him. He's definitely there in the background somewhere. Stephen? No, let's give Stephen and Stonywood just a few seconds to come to the phone. I don't know.
Windy there, but
yeah, windy. It sounds like it's windy. in Stonywood this evening. Where exactly is Stonywood? My geography is perhaps not where it should be.
Stonywood. No idea.
No.
It's not as windy as Turnberry the other day when I was playing golf.
John Harrison's golf day.
Oh my God, what a day it was. Great day and raised a lot of money, but I've never played golf in conditions like that. Golf trolley's blown over. Oh,
and this is your weekly Mark Wilson complexion update. Yeah. He does indeed look weather beaten again every week without fail.
Although there was hurricane winds, there was scorching sunshine mixed in there. So
no sunbed required this week.
Oh, I said, no, I know.
Forget noses, Lee.
Sorry. We chatting about noses like earlier. No, I know, I did get a bit of sunburn.
Honestly. Right, Stephen should be in Stonywood. Stephen.
Hi guys, how you doing? I'm not in Stonywood, I'm just travelling back to Fife.
Where is Stonywood? Just satisfy my curiosity before you go on.
Back and beyond, it's just outside Denny.
There we go, right, on you go, crack on with your point.
I'm a Celtic supporter, but I actually feel for Graham Murray because I think he's been caught in the middle of something between the players and also Dave King. Dave King's got a cheek to talk about showing the manager respect when... he was the one that came out and said, more or less, that he's lost his job at the end of the season anyway. And I think probably Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace are probably the biggest wage earners at Rangers right now. And I think it's just, I think they've made the manager, excuse me, the disagreement with the manager as a scapegoat to get Kenny and Lee Wallace off the wage bill. I think there's a hidden agenda going on through.
Well, I don't think they are the top
No, you've got Alves and Peña, who's out on loan.
Besides that, then, what about generally Stephen's take on... Because it's clearly not a point that only Stephen's made about this statement and how it put extra pressure on Murty. Did it, in your opinion, change the way the players saw Murty? Did it?
No, well, I think you can look at it both ways, Gordon. I don't think it was the right statement at the right time, my opinion. Dave King can come out and defend it and say, well, look, we're trying to sell season tickets... And Graham Murty's the interim manager to the end of the season, but he never ruled them out. But the statement, really, I think everybody read between the lines that you're not really getting the job. But if everybody says about Graham Murty being thrown under a bus, he's had a fantastic opportunity from nowhere to claim a spot to be the Rangers manager on a permanent basis. So, first and foremost, it's a great chance for him. In January, they brought in, what, five players? Everybody thought they were good signings. Now, was it his five players or Mark Allen? That's up to Rangers to decide how they do that. His future was decided probably game after game. Many times have we been on here, Rangers fans, and they come on, have a go at us. They were on here shouting that Murty was the next best thing. What a terrific job he was doing. He loses a few games. I think he won 1.9. We were inundated with phone calls about... he should never get the job. Once again, it comes to Sunday. The result, the performance, Rangers fans now know that Graham Murty shouldn't get the job. But the bigger problem for Graham Murty is how does he get that team together again? Because if you believe what you read in the papers, and we don't too often, I'm glad Roger and that's not sitting here, but players are coming out and saying, well, I don't think this is right about Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace, which is a warning sign for me because it looks like the players are saying, well, Graham Murty's not going to be here, so we'll look after our teammates. I think Graham Murty's got big problems. I don't think, as Stephen touched on, I don't think the statement was a proper statement at the right time. Come out and say it on Monday. Wait for another couple of days. But I can understand the Rangers board trying to sell season tickets. But... as I say, I think Graham Murty had an opportunity that not a lot of people have, and he just, it's the fact he's not good enough to be the Rangers manager and take the club forward. They're blaming both sides, I think.
I think the point is, Gordon, the main point really for me was that King's come out, made a statement, a talking about respect for the manager, right, about Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace, and the very fact that he's come out with, you know, that statement, the timing was poor, but also the point that he's making is that nobody should speak to the manager like that or speak about the manager like that. He's come out and said that about Graham Murty, and I think there's more to it than just being respectful for the manager. I think he's trying to lighten the wage bill, and if that's the case, then it's a sad state of affairs.
Well, if you look at it that way, let's get away from this. He's trying to lighten the wage bill because Kenny Miller's contract's up in 3-4 weeks anyway.
Exactly.
So that wage bill's got to be lightened. I know that Lee Wallace has got another year, but Stephen touched on all the two highest earners, and once again we get into this stories about, well, they're trying to get rid of the money and they're trying to get rid of the highest earners. Alves is reportedly on big money. Pena's on big money. So these guys won't be the highest earners. So there's obviously something went so wrong on Sunday that Graham Murty's decided to go to the board and say, look, if I'm going to stay in charge here at the end of the season, these two guys have got to leave. And the Rangers board have backed them.
Thank you to Stephen in on his way to Stonywood. Next up, we've got Mike, who's a Celtic fan in the Netherlands. That's gone back a couple of years, Gordon, but that's Holland to you, yes?
Yeah, I lost.
I remember that. Yeah.
Devastating. Beat the pundit with that one.
I remember. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. How's Holland?
Actually, I'm in Manchester tonight, but I was in Holland on the weekend.
Right, okay.
No, I just wanted to... You mentioned you kind of ridiculed the guy that said he was listening to you guys on the plane across the Atlantic, but, I mean, I'm amazed that you superstars don't know that Wi-Fi is sort of regularly available on long-haul flights, and it's using satellites across the water and ground-based systems across the land. So it's quite feasible to listen to Radio Clyde.
So he's listening to us and not watching one of these hundreds of movies. It's on board, though, mate.
To be fair, Gordon DL, most of Gordon DL's travelling is from Motherwell to Clydebank and back again, and depending where he goes on his bike. So Wi-Fi in the air doesn't come into it. Although, Mark Wilson, during the break, you were just bragging about being first class on a transatlantic Virgin flight at some point.
Yeah,
so I'm surprised that you didn't know.
I wasn't tuning in to us.
Well, next time you will, okay?
I will try.
Mike, you're a Celtic fan. What's on your mind football-wise?
I'm a Celtic fan. I was very fortunate enough to be in San Francisco at the weekend. I watched the game against Rangers at the Celtic Supporters Club there in Mowbray, just next to the airport. Great game. Fantastic singing from one of the old guys there, singing in Gaelic. Just absolutely wonderful experience. But to be honest, you know, I think Rangers is a pretty easy team for the current Celtic side to tackle. They play the ball mostly on the ground. They want to play good football. They're not a physical team. They're not a dirty team. I think, by the way, that Murty is a thoroughly decent man. I'm actually a bit concerned about the way he's been treated in the last week. But, you know, this double treble depends on one thing. It doesn't depend on beating Rangers at the end of the month or Aberdeen or Hearts or whatever. It depends on being able to beat Motherwell. And Motherwell are a completely different entity than Rangers and perhaps any other team in the Scottish Premier League. They're physical. They're in your face. They've got a lot of passion. Celtic have passion, but almost not quite at that level. So I'm wondering what the panel think about what's going to happen in that Scottish Cup final.
Motherwell are going to win. That's my prediction just now. I think you're correct in what you're saying. If you look at Motherwell, the one thing about them is they've not got the biggest budget in the world, but they've got one of the biggest team spirits, and every one of them buy into what the manager wants them to do. They roll their sleeves up and they put a real shift in. I thought against Aberdeen, sitting watching them, I thought they were absolutely terrific. They're not guys out there playing for, okay, they'll earn decent, but it'll not be massive money that other players are on. But they love the football, they're passionate, they like the club, and it was great to see them in a final again, second final this season. So, no, I think Motherwell will give Celtic a harder game than certainly Rangers gave them. But the one thing about Celtic is they've got better players, they've got a better squad, but they'll have to play their top potential to beat Motherwell, because Motherwell will fight for every ball.
And of course, Mark, this is a repeat of the 2011 Scottish Cup final, which you played in against Motherwell.
Some would say scored.
I was there, and
you're claiming a pass.
I've always thought that Stephen Craigan scored an own goal, and it came to light a couple of weeks ago that Mark Wilson actually thinks he scored in this game.
Well,
we're standing next to Harry Kane
for a second. Exactly.
Nobody likes to score an own goal in a cup final, so I'm doing Stephen a, a service by saying
genuinely claiming that one.
It was a shot and it deflected off him and went in. Now I can't control how much it deflected. That's up to him, but I'm still claiming
you
it.
You couldn't control the shot.
So it'll be it'll be great memories for me. Come cup final day, Celtic v Motherwell. I think that was the fixture I scored.
Clutching
cup final
at straws.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Big thanks to Mike from the Netherlands, who's been in San Francisco, wherever else he was, I don't know. But thank you to Mike nevertheless. It's time for you to get involved if you want to play Beat the Pundit. Mark and Gordon are standing by. There's usually some very interesting answers on a Thursday night when these two are involved. So if you want to play, go and pick up the phone, 0141 951 1025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you were listening before the news, Mark Wilson was trying to claim that he scored in the 2011 Scottish Cup final between Motherwell and Celtic, the teams that are going to meet this season. I've looked it up. Officially, it has gone down as a Stephen Craigan own goal, but don't you worry, because Ant's boy has your back. He says it was Mark Wilson's goal. Me and the wife were sitting behind his proud dad in the stand. I don't doubt that your dad claimed it was yours. I'm not sure how much that. And then Emmett's on
I
as well.
Be the judge.
Emmett's on. He says, listening to Mark Wilson being ribbed by Gordon for claiming a goal in the Scottish Cup final, ask him how many times he's played in the Champions League.
Oh,
I don't know which
how
Gordon
many
he means.
No,
which
probably
one?
You.
Actually, we'll try both of you. How many times have you played in the Champions
League?
I think we've established I certainly haven't. So I don't really know if that changes.
I'm actually
anything.
Just thinking when that goal goes in, he's sitting in the stand. How does that guy know that's Mark Wilson's dad? I bet he's up shouting.
He's
that's my
Celtic
boy.
That's
Wilson 12.
Dad
senior Wilson 12.
Yeah. After naming you, what was your middle name again?
I got a middle name.
Oh, you have.
I've not.
You've got the funny middle name, you know.
You and your sister. What a bizarre conversation.
You know, named after a programme.
Yeah, that was my first name. Anyway.
Oh, you're named after Dallas characters. Yeah, you
let's not bring that up again. Beat the pundit, you say.
That's GR. What a goal.
Beat the pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Anyway, it is time for Beat the Pundit. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are both standing by, and tonight one of them is going to be up against Scott, who's a Rangers fan from Dumbarton. Good evening, Scott. How are you?
Not bad, guys. Yourself?
Yes, not bad at all. Now that we're over the hilarity of Mark Wilson's being named after a character from Dallas. Anyway, right, let's move. We'll move on to Beat the Pundit, see if we can get any entertainment out of that. It usually does provide some, to be fair. So heads, it's going to be Mark that you're up against Scott, and tails, it's going to be Gordon Dalziel. So we'll just toss this coin, and it is heads. So it's Mark Wilson up against Scott from Dumbarton. Right, let's give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to so that he can't steal your answers. And we'll get the clock up and running. Scott, if you've never heard this before, it's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Okay.
Right. Which Queen of the South striker has been nominated for Championship Player of the Year?
Pass.
What Kilmarnock defender this week agreed a contract extension?
Melinda.
Which Spanish team's reportedly been linked with Moussa Dembele?
Villarreal.
Who's been appointed manager of Fleetwood Town?
Oh.
Quick. And who did Rangers play in their first league game of this season?
Kilmarnock.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Are you with us?
I'm yes. Terrible.
Right, same set of questions to you.
I just caught that there. You know, great. Did that well, Scott? I no, just heard no, you and I came
no,
on.
Listen, he's, no, it's mind games.
Oh, is it? Is he?
You get 14. Yeah. You got a right. Anyway, same set right, of questions to you.
That's relaxed me.
Right,
bit.
You ready?
Yeah.
Which Queen of the South striker has been named in the shortlist for
Stephen
Championship
Dobie.
Player of the Year? Which Kilmarnock defender this week agreed a contract extension at the club?
Stuart Finlay.
Which Spanish team's reportedly been linked with Celtic's Moussa Dembele?
Villarreal.
Who's been appointed manager of Fleetwood Town?
Joey Barton.
Who did Rangers play in their first league game of the season?
Hearts.
Partick Thistle have renamed the Witch Stand after John Lambie.
North Stand.
And name one country other than Scotland or England that Kyle Lafferty has played his club football in.
Italy.
Okay. Scott, say what you said after you finished.
That was terrible.
Correct. It was.
No, it's so much harder on the phone, by the way.
You're right, when the pressure's on, that's why Mark Wilson's face goes so red. Anyway, let's go through them. So first question, which Queen of the South striker has been nominated in the PFA Scotland Championship Player of the Year shortlist? It is Stephen Dobie. Which Kilmarnock defenders agreed a contract extension this week, Gordon?
Is it Taylor?
Greg Taylor, it is. So it's 1-0 to Mark after two questions. Which Spanish team has been linked with Celtic's Moussa Dembele recently? It is Villarreal. So you both got that right. So it's only 2-1 at this point, Scott. If I was to stop it here, it would be respectable. But after this is where the problems kick in. Who has been appointed manager of Fleetwood Town? It is Joey Barton. Scott, you'll be kicking yourself.
Is Scott not get that?
No.
Shocking.
Who did Rangers play in their first league game of the season?
I'm going to have a guess. Was it Hibs?
No. And you said
Hamilton.
Hearts.
And Scott, you said
Kilmarnock.
So none of you are right. It was Motherwell. At Fir Park.
Oh,
remember?
So, oh yeah, I was there.
So
Graham Doran's
got, yep, exactly. Well, it's been announced Partick have renamed the North Stand after John Lambie. Did you get that right?
Yes.
He's flying. And name one other country, apart from Scotland or England, obviously, where Kyle Lafferty's played. You had the choice of Switzerland, Italy, or Turkey. So Mark Wilson got that right. That's two. So it was a 5-1. For Mark Wilson. He punches the air just like he did when Stephen Craigan scored that own goal in the 2011 Scottish Cup final.
And his dad will be sitting in a couch. That's my boy.
He'll be buzzing.
Scott. Hardlines.
Okay, Scott.
Run by four again this week,
so. There we are. You can always try some other time. Maybe you'll catch him on an off night. There we are. That was Scott in Dumbarton. Yes. I've never seen anyone who celebrates after beat the pundit the way he does.
It's unbelievable.
Why would you know?
Honestly.
What's the point in playing if you don't want to win?
Well, that's a fair point, Mark.
There you go.
But no,
right. No.
Dad's proud of you.
Nah, well, I'm happy.
Okay, let's speak to Brian in Chapel Hall. We're going to look at the nominations, fresh off the question and beat the pundit. We're going to look at the nominations for the Championship Player of the Year. But let's speak to Brian in Chapel Hall first. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on the Scott Bain. A lot of Celtic fans, I think, are getting carried away because he had one okay game against Rangers. And I think the Celtic fans do get carried away when we beat Rangers. But he's an okay keeper. He's small, hasn't really played for anybody else than Aberdeen and Hibernian. As I say, he had an okay game against Rangers. I think if Craig Gordon was in the goal goals in that game, he would have stopped at least one of the goals that Rangers scored. And I would think it would show a real lack of ambition if Celtic sign him. If they get him for next to nothing, it might be okay. But he should really be the backup to the backup. We need to get somebody who's better than Craig Gordon. We always talk about Celtic should be competing in Europe. And again, it will show a real lack of ambition if they sign this guy and pay him any money.
Brian, look, I know it's your opinion, but I totally disagree. I think Scott Bain is a very good goalkeeper. I know his games for Celtic have been limited, but when he's been given the chance, I think he's proved he's up to the challenge of playing for a big club. The clubs he played for before, I witnessed him at Awa when I was there. I watched some training for a while. I know how highly he was thought of there, and he deservedly got his move off the back of that to Dundee, where I thought, again, playing in a team like Dundee, you're always going to ship goals, but I thought he was a standout in that side, and I thought he deserved a move to a bigger club. And he got it off the back of difficult circumstances where he fell out with a manager. He went to Hibs, didn't get the chance to play, but then he goes to Celtic, and I think he performs well when he was in. I think he would be a good number two to Craig Gordon. I think he could challenge Craig Gordon, and like I said before, it's up to then Craig Gordon to make mistakes. But I wouldn't have any worries if Craig Gordon made a mistake and he was put in the team. I think he'd be a good sign, Brian.
Okay, I would come back with that. With some of the teams you mentioned there are obviously lower teams. We're talking about competing. We need to qualify every year for the Champions League the way our model is. They spend the money we're spending. We need to progress in the Europa League. He needs to go up with teams as good as Zenit St. Petersburg. We're talking about Kenny Miller having problems with a couple of managers coming through at Rangers now and how that's blown up. But then he's having a problem with the Hibs manager and the Aberdeen manager. So I think all the signs are there.
Brian?
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Scott Bain?
Yeah, I'm talking about Scott Bain.
Neil McCann at Dundee, yeah. but that's it. There's no problem with anyone else.
Neil McCann at Dundee, sorry. Yeah. But again, we need to get somebody who, as good as Craig Gordon is at shortstopping, we need to get somebody who commands that box, helps the back four, and again, if we're going to compete in Europe, we need to upgrade this team. And again, if we sign him, if we get him for nothing, and he's the backup to the backup, then fair enough, he's a good enough keeper for that. But again, if Celtic want to better themselves every year, we need to show ambition and get better players which are in their
So who are you thinking of, Brian? Have you got anything in mind? Obviously, it's your opinion. I agree with Mark. I think Scott Bain would be a good signing. I think Brendan Rodgers, the manager of Celtic, would probably think that Scott Bain would be a good signing. But if you're talking here about when Celtic need to go out and spend on a bigger name to be the backup to Craig Gordon, there's not a lot of real top goalkeepers out there that's prepared to come to Scottish football. And I know you're touching on the European scene, but come to Scottish football and sit and be a backup.
Right. I actually don't want him to be a backup. I need somebody to push Craig Gordon. And again, Craig Gordon, as you mentioned in the programme earlier, he's getting up there in years. I think he's still got a good couple of years in him, don't get me wrong. But we need somebody in here who's about 23, 24 years of age, who's an up-and-rising star that we can develop and then take over from Craig Gordon in about 12 months or so and push Craig Gordon. Now, Scott Bain, I think Craig Gordon's far better than Scott Bain. I don't think he's going to push him. Again, he's there as a backup, but he's not going to push him, and we need somebody in there to push him.
But if you look at Celtic over the years with goalkeepers, I mean recent years, Celtic have tried to bring in goalkeepers to challenge, you know, the number one position, and each one of them keep falling. I mean, Doris de Vries was the one.
Example.
Was the biggest
he was put straight in when he was signed.
Yeah, played in a big league. I know he was experienced, but he was put straight in, and everyone's going, right, this is a guy to challenge Craig Gordon. However, if you've got a goalkeeper like Craig Gordon who's that good at shortstopping, I know he's getting on in age, he's hard to displace. However, it's hard to get a 22, 23-year-old goalkeeper who ticks all the boxes to come and play in Scotland. It's never going to happen. Or if it does, it costs you more than what Celtic are willing to pay for a striker.
Tommy Hamilton's on Twitter. Bit of backup for Scott Bain. He says he's come and collected more crosses in two games than Big Gordon has all season. I'm not slagging Gordon, he's a great shot stopper. Let's just drop this size thing. Keep your thoughts coming. 0141 951 1025. And particularly if you've got any thoughts on who should be Championship Player of the Year, because the shortlist was revealed today. Lewis Morgan and Cammy Smith from St Mirren, Stephen Dobie from Queen of the South, or QOS as Mark Wilson prefers to call them, and Livingston's Craig Halkett. So that's voted for by the players. That's the four choices you've got. Any thoughts on who should win? 0141 951 1025. Lewis Morgan says it's an honour to be nominated. He says he's delighted the buddies have achieved their goal of getting promoted, and now he's already looking forward to joining up with Celtic in the summer and hopes he can break into the Hoops side.
Obviously it's an honour. I think kind of shows the hard work that's gone on behind the scenes. Obviously St Mirren, there's a number of players that could have been nominated, and it's great to see Cammy as well. And it's really is a good individual reward for us. Obviously that was the main aim at the start of the season as well. I think maybe people wrongly so were looking at Dundee United and saying that they were going to be favourites for the league, but we knew what we had at St Mirren, and there's obviously a good platform for them to really kick on now. It's a club with great potential, and it really was almost like a dream come true getting us promoted because of people writing us off. Last few minutes of the game at home on Saturday there, knowing that, well, the job was nearly done and we were nearly over the line. When the final whistle blew, it was brilliant, and obviously to see what it meant to all the boys and the fans alike, that's something that will stay with me.
Next season, you want to push ahead and try and break into Celtic?
Yeah, that's the plan. Obviously I know it's going to be a tough task ahead of me. There's some brilliant players there, and they're really showing why they're the top team in Scotland. So, but something I've got to grasp, and just go on and try and improve as a player and try and get my opportunity and take it when it comes.
So Lewis Morgan, one of the four nominees then. Cammy Smith's in there from St Mirren, Craig Halkett from Livingston, and Stephen Dobie as well from Queen of the South. Who are you going for?
Well, I'll
bear in mind this is voted for by the players, and no one really cares what you think, but I do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've been involved in it, Gordon, throughout the years. I've been very privileged to be up there standing, making speech after speech, year after year.
Did you win this award, the Championship Player of the Year?
Yeah, I won it two in a row. Fraser Whistler says it was three, but I didn't turn up for the third one. I was busy. But it usually goes to someone that's a prolific goal scorer. But I think if I'm looking at this season, you can't really see by Morgan at St Mirren. He's had 17 goals, am I right in saying? Great return. He's got a move to Celtic, so it shows you what sort of a season that the boys had. But there's nothing better than getting nominated from your players from the division. It's a real honour. And, you know, that time, I would say very lucky to do it. My dad was there and he was very proud of me. He had the DL suit on.
The DL suit on. That must have been an old suit. Back in the late 60s, 70s, was it? No, like, you can't argue with Gordon saying that. I think Morgan's been terrific. Yeah, I think he's been terrific. I do. I think, like, Stephen Dobie, I know he's an older player. He's came, I think he's found his place just now. I think he's happy where he's playing. You look at him, he scored 24 goals in a team that's sitting seventh in the league, and they've got, like, you've got a goal difference of minus one. But if he's banging in 24 goals in that team, that's something else. And I kind of be Gordon, you know, he's had a terrific season, and often it comes from the team at the top of the league or the champions. But I think Stephen Dobie will give him a run for his money. I think other professionals playing against Dobie will realise what a good player he is and what a hard time he's gave defences.
John is a St Mirren fan in East Kilbride. John, you're very well placed to give us your thoughts, because Lewis Morgan and Cammy Smith are in there from your team, and I'm sure you've seen the other two boys as well.
Yes, I certainly. I'm trying to flick through the programme here to see how many goals you scored, you know, in the season. Cause,
which one? Morgan's at 17.
Well, by a country, more than a country mile, Lewis Morgan. I've seen all the home games, and I've been to quite a few away games as well. And the boy's got everything in his locker for the position he plays. He can play in either wing, because he's left-footed and right-footed. He take corner kicks with either foot, swinging them in, you know. He's hitting free kicks with either foot, you know. He's a wonderful player, and a good team player as well. Great at 1-2s, and a tricky wee player as well, getting through. The last few games, we've been a wee bit off the boil, because I think that's through to nerves and so on. But a lot of the opposition have got the hang of how Sitman play and how Lewis plays, and they put about three or four men on him kind of thing at a time, you know. But he still managed to wriggle his way. He did it at Brechin as well, wearing about four guys or in about him, and he wriggled his way through a lot of them, you know. But he's a wonderful, wonderful player. I really hope he goes on and has a successful career, and I hope Celtic sell him on down England to make the real money down there.
So you've got to sell him.
I get 33%. John McGinn as well. I wish he'd just get sold sooner than later, you know, so we can get all the money, you know.
Mark, the next question is, now, because it's been hanging over Lewis Morgan anyway since he signed, but particularly now, the season is done for St Mirren. It's done and dusted. They've won the title. It now becomes about, can he get into the Celtic team?
It becomes a reality now, because I know he signed, and he would have had that week where he signed that his mind would have been on it, and, you know, everything going a bit crazy.
And to be fair, he played very well afterwards as well.
He got the head down, because he had a job to do, and he had a title to win, and he deserved, he owed that to his St Mirren teammates and the fans, you know, getting his head down, working, and he's done terrifically well. However, now it becomes a reality, now that the league's over for St Mirren. He is a Celtic player now, and he's got a lot of thinking to do over the summer. You know, he'll take his rest, but he's got a lot of work to do, because getting into this Celtic team is not going to be easy. Not going to be easy one time. And when I say team, I'm talking about the actual matchday squad. If you look at the Celtic squad and the boys that are left out just now, and you think there's other guys to come in, it's a tall order now. Two players for every position, and especially the position he plays in, this 3 and 4. So I think he's a great player, but his pre-season is going to be the biggest one of his career.
It's almost time for the full-time teaser. That's when we get you guys to send in the questions and we try and catch the pundits out. We're going to get one of them up and running soon, but listen carefully to this. This is a good prize. Slightly away from football for a second, but on the 28th of April, on the Saturday the 28th, Glasgow Warriors take on Edinburgh Rugby in the third and final 1872 Cup clash of the season. And we're sending a coach load, so not just one or two, a coach load of Clyde One listeners to BT Murrayfield. It's all part of Silver Saturday, basically a big exciting day of Rugby Cup finals through in Edinburgh. To be on the Clyde One coach, it goes to and from Partick thanks to First Bus. All you have to do is head to clydeone.com/warriors and you can enter to win a pair of tickets.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dielle are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you were listening before the break, we were talking about giving away. It's a great competition we've got running in Clyde One, the 1872 Cup, Glasgow against Edinburgh. We're sending a coach load of fans along. So when I took the break, Gordon Dielle was just telling me about the time, the one time that he went to the rugby. He went to Glasgow Warriors and he was saying, great night.
Fantastic.
He enjoyed it, yeah?
Fantastic. Absolutely great. Hospitality, everybody looks after you. And it's terrific and great story. I was sitting at the table and there was a sort of bigger lad sitting next to me, so I thought I'll have a chat. He's probably recognised me. And I've actually says to him, do you enjoy the rugby? He says, oh yeah. I says, have you ever played? He says, yeah, I'm the Warriors captain. It was Al Kellogg. So then I embarrassed myself a little bit more. I thought, oh, brilliant. I said, have you ever played for Scotland? He went, no, just 58 times. So don't make that mistake. Honestly.
Classic DL.
He didn't notice that he was like 6'10".
He was sitting down.
And, right, okay.
He was sitting down.
Anyway, it's time for the full-time teaser. This is when you send a question to us and we try and catch the pundits out. If you've got any questions, send them in. fulltime@clyde1.com. I know especially in these days, social media, loads of good questions going back and forward. So fire them over and we'll try and get them read out on the show. This was Jerry in Erskine who sent this one in. And he's looking for 13 Old Firm players whose surnames start with the letter V. By the way, we had a van last night, actually. It's quite similar. So, name the 13 Old Firm players whose surnames start with the letter V, and that's since 2000.
Oh, 2000.
13 Old Firm players whose surnames started with the letter V since 2000.
Go on, you've got one, haven't you?
Van Bronckhorst.
Yes. Yeah. 12 to go.
Van Vossen.
Van Vossen, great one.
No, not since 2000.
Van, there must be a mere van.
Vignal. Gregory Vignal.
Not a bad. I didn't expect you to get him second. That was a decent shout. Okay, Gordon Dielle, do you want to bring anything to the table tonight, or are you just letting Mark do it all?
I'm settling down to this one.
Right, okay. I mean, some of these are easy, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
13 Old Firm players since 2000 whose surname started with the letter V. We've already got Van Bronckhorst and Vignal, so we've got two from Rangers, none from Celtic yet.
Ooh.
Right, let's speak to Tony in Clarkson. Hi, Tony.
Hello there, how are you doing, Gordon?
Fine, thank you. What's your point tonight?
Hello, Gordon and Mark. The thing is, they usually criticise referees, but because of the gulf in the teams on Sunday, I reckon this was one of the easiest Old Firm games to referee for a long, long time. A stroll for Bobby Madden, and I was just wondering what the boys would thought of that.
Well, I mean, listen,
I was there, Gordon.
Tony puts it down to the gulf between the teams, but surely we give a bit of credit to Bobby Madden first and foremost.
Well, I don't know if it's just what happened. Well, and nobody questioned him. I don't know if it was the fact that what happened after a game in the Rangers dressing room, but it's one of the few times that we've not really mentioned the referee. So it showed you he had a very, very good game. He's an experienced referee. He handled the occasion very, very well. Any sort of a decent calls, I wouldn't say big calls, he got them correct. So sometimes we've got to give out a little bit of credit to the referees because we're quick enough in criticising them. So give them a bit of credit when they have a good game.
I would agree with that, Gordon. Another question for you. Who do you think would get the final? Or who do you think should get the final?
Referee-wise?
Oof. Yes, referee-wise.
Well, it's always the same kind of guys. It goes between Willie Colm, Craig Thompson.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But is Bobby Madden refereed the final? Is he?
I can't remember.
I don't think so. It's always the same old faces. So I'm assuming one of those guys will get it.
I would like to see big changes for this cup final. I don't know if you would like to hear what I would like to see. I know it probably won't happen, but I'd like to see you, Gordon, as a match official.
Can you imagine?
Gordon, who? Gordon Duncan or Gordon
you.
May?
No, you,
Gordon Dale. Oh. Like official, because of your fitness, Gordon.
Yes.
I would like to see Mark as the force official. Yeah. I'd like to see Hugh. I would like to see Hugh and Derek running the line. Alec Ray and Roger Hanna, goal line officials, and Mark Giddy as the observer from the stand. Yeah. I'm just wondering, could you handle that one, boys?
Tony, you talk about his fitness, but you do realise that he's not allowed to ride his bike around the centre circle to keep up with play. So
in Lycra,
I don't think that's going to work. But listen.
Be a change, wouldn't it, from the official referees out there? Some of you boys could do it, and you could let the referees come in and do Radio Clyde for a change.
Imagine the stick deal would get. Good. Anyway, I like that original idea of the night so far from Tony and Clarkson. Thank you. 01419511025.
Van Hooydonk.
What about him?
Quiz.
Oh, not since 2000. Come on, you never listened to the full question.
Fidmar.
Yes, that's one of the difficult ones. I thought.
Viduka.
Viduka.
Just.
He was just turned us 2000, wasn't he?
Just.
He just sneaked in.
A couple of. Yeah. Just at the start of 2000. Do you know, I like Hugh Moan's style on Twitter. He just went, let's see these two get. And he's just named like the hardest three. So he clearly knows
the
them all.
Virgil
van Dijk.
No.
Van Dijk. Get on. Good guess.
No, the other centre half.
Van who?
No. What would you call him? Celtic centre half.
Begins with a V.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh.
You two are unbelievable. And I'm not going to explain why right now, because it will give it away. But you are,
I'm on the right lines.
You never fail to amaze me. Yes.
What's his name? You should know.
How's your
Dano? Probably played with him.
No, he didn't. I don't think they overlapped. Think so.
How's
it? Could be wrong.
Oh. Come on. Oh, the big centre half played with Celtic.
Anyway, Valharen. Yeah, Valharen's one of them. Yes.
Yeah.
That's not who Gordon's thinking of.
No.
Okay.
You can't just wave your arms and go, I know. You should know that. You're putting me under more pressure when you do that.
Danny's a Celtic fan on the line. We're going to get to him in a second. I want to get your thoughts on this. Alan Archibald says he understands why Chris Erskine was embarrassed by his Player of the Year nomination for the club's in-house awards, but says the ceremony won't be scrapped. I don't know if you saw this. I know you guys aren't on Twitter, but Erskine tweeted yesterday in response to Partick Thistle's tweet and saying he didn't believe it should go ahead. He was embarrassed to be involved, and Archibald is now challenging his players to step up and try and avoid that drop.
Yeah, I understand where he's coming from. I totally do. And he's honest enough to say it. The problem is, the bigger picture is these awards have been organised a year in advance. It's not done last week when we know we're having a bad season. So, and it's for the whole club, it's for the academy as well. So that's why the awards go on. And we've just got to go on with it. We've just got to face up to, we all are having a bad season. And it's just one of the things in football. That's Chris's thoughts. And he's honest enough to put them out there. He maybe just feels a wee bit embarrassed because he was nominated. I actually spoke to him previously, before he knew he was nominated, and that was his thoughts as well. They're an honest group. I don't think they've ever hid away from it. They've been honest enough to us and ourselves, and they've never hid away from the season that we've had. But look, the split gives a lifeline and a chance to get out of that, and a chance to keep our club in the Premier League, and that's the aim.
Knowing Gordon Dalziel as we do, Mark, can you imagine if he was nominated for Player of the Year, even if they were 53 points adrift at the bottom, there is no chance he'd be turning it down.
No way.
He'd be straight
he'd be
up
out there.
There
campaigning, wouldn't he, saying, I deserve this award. Yeah,
I'd be first at the awards.
All my teammates have been rubbish, but I've been fantastic. So get your votes in.
Think how bad we could have been if it wasn't for me.
Exactly.
That's more his style. On a serious note, and that's the beauty of the split, you talk about the old cliches of five cup finals, so that, you know, that's the way it is for Partick Thistle now, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got they're all massive because they have to start picking up points sitting there. 25 points, especially after last season, they get all the pats in the back, top six finish. They've had an absolute shocker this season, and they play Hamilton at home. They need a win. Just to give them a bit of momentum for the last few games. Try and catch the Ross Counties and Dundees. And, you know, I think Hamilton will be safe. I think they've got enough, especially with their home games. But Partick Thistle, they're a real, real good club. They're a big club. They've got good support. Nobody's got the divine right to stay in the top league. If you get relegated, it's on results and poor performances. But Alan Archibald will be so disappointed, as I say, after all the hype of top six finish last season.
I think it's a big one this week for Partick at home to Hamilton. I think the supporters and the players have got to fancy it. No disrespect to Hamilton, but your home games, I think they've got to fancy it. And then when you look at the other fixture, the team sitting above you, Ross County at home to Motherwell, the way Motherwell are playing just now, you'd expect Motherwell to go up there and win. I know it's not going to be easy, but they're physical, they've got a lot of confidence after the weekend. You'd think Motherwell would take care of that one. So you can't miss an opportunity. If Ross County lose, you know, Partick have got to win. I think at the end of the weekend, Partick will be off bottom.
Ooh, big prediction. Gordon, we gave it a passing mention during Beat the Pundit, but it certainly deserves a bit more than that. The news today that Partick Thistle are going to rename the North Stand after John Lambie. So I think, you know, everything that's been said about the man in the past week or so, certainly a fitting tribute. I'm sure everyone would agree.
Without a shadow of doubt, I was listening a little bit of the programme last night, Gordon. I heard Jim Duffy talking about being at the funeral, Hugh had been at the funeral, and talking about the emotions of guys that, for instance, Chick Chanley, who had to stand up there, and it must have been a difficult day to make speeches about him. I knew the man, he was a terrific man. And if Partick Thistle players have got anything about them for their supporters in the club, they should try and do this for John Lambie, because he was from the old days. I loved going head to head against him, and I loved the fact that I couldn't wait to come into the office, or I went into his office after a game, and some of the stories and every second word that came out of his mouth was incredible. But It was a one-off, and I'm delighted Partick Thistle have made that.
We were looking for 13 Old Firm players whose surnames started with the letter V since 2000. These two are incredible. You should see them when they try and communicate with each other. You've stumbled across it. I've got a theory this isn't even who Gordon meant, and he says it is because he's trying to take credit. I don't think
you
this
think
is who
I
he
meant Varga, didn't you?
I was just about to say Stan Varga. Yeah, I did play with him as well.
But
yeah,
Stan go Varga. No wonder I'm shouting
by trying to figure that out, you got. Is there not another one?
Yes.
I saw you say
Adam Virgo.
Virgo.
Well done. Gin. That is one of the difficult ones as well. Yeah. So Van Bronckhorst, Vidmar, and Vignal from Rangers. Valharen, Varga, Van Dijk, Virgo, Viduka. So still looking for.
Venegor.
Of Hesselink. Yes.
The pilot.
Flying.
Oh, we are flying.
What do you mean the pilot?
Is he not a pilot now?
I don't think so. Is that
yeah,
not?
Yeah, he is. I'm
no,
sure.
That's
he's a pilot.
No, that's Brad
Harold Bradbury.
Well, you're close.
I could not be
the pilot. You know something? Vinegar,
I was on a British Airways flight the other day, and I was talking to him. I was wondering why he was looking at me that way.
I thought that was just the worst nickname since the mushroom
pilot.
Came along.
The pilot.
Danny is a Celtic fan in Hamilton. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hi, what's your point tonight?
Hello, Gordon. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
My point is about the word attitude that's been used about the Rangers players for Sunday. The example I'll give is that when Celtic played Paris and Bayern and Barcelona and all these teams, when they get well and truly beat, did Brendan Rodgers not send the players out with a proper attitude? Because
no.
A manager can only go so far.
No, I don't agree with that. I think there's a total gulf in class between PSG and Celtic.
That's
Bayern.
That's my point. There's a gulf in class between Celtic and Rangers.
As much as there is between Celtic and PSG or Celtic and Bayern.
Well, I would say so.
Because, well, 3 weeks ago, before that Old Firm game, Rangers had the chance to go. Was it 3 points? Within three
right.
points and
right.
took the lead twice, and it was Rangers' best chance to beat Celtic and all of that. But now there's a golfing class up.
Mark, that's about 12 matches now. You're going back to 2012 since Rangers got the turn on Celtic. Really?
Well, I don't think he's doubting that Celtic are better, Danny.
Team,
he just
yeah.
doesn't think the gap is quite as big as that between Celtic and Bayern or PSG.
But what my point is if a manager can only send the players out with so much attitude, at the end of the day, you can't make a silk purse out of sow's ear.
Well, yeah, that is something that we discussed earlier, Gordon. I think, for instance, because of course managers, they have to take the blame for tactics,
yeah.
formation, approach. What would be the moments in the game, though, particular moments in the game where you thought Rangers players just individually, nothing to do with the manager, just didn't show enough?
I thought there was, after 10 minutes you're watching the game and you're thinking there's no self-belief there. I don't think...
The Candace one.
Candace.
A second goal. Yeah. Tierney. Yeah, walks, yeah. Well, walks by him.
But even before that, Mark, Celtic were really strolling.
I know, but I think what Mark means though, in terms of just moments that you can put it all on the player.
I tell you, see that one moment, I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, what is going on there? I mean, Candace has been one of Rangers' better players this season.
And he has worked very hard.
I couldn't believe when Kieran Tierney just squared him up. And we've seen Kieran Tierney breeze by people. Kieran Tierney walked by him and Candace chucked it. And then he's got the cheek to shake his head and walk down the tunnel when he's been taken off. Well, I'm sorry, you contributed nothing at the second goal. And you've got the cheek to shake your head and shout over at the manager, hold on a minute, what happened to you at the second goal there? Or what happened to your performance the full game? Sorry, you can't accept that. If I'm a Rangers fan and I'm watching that, I'm furious at that.
Thank you to Danny in Hamilton, looking for 13 Old Firm players whose surnames started with the letter V since 2000. They're doing well. They've got Van Bronckhorst, Wiedmar, Vignal, Valharen, Venegar of Hesselink, Varga, Van Dijk, Virgo and Viduka. We'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are into the final part of tonight's show with me, Gordon Duncan. There's still time for you to get in touch though. 01419511025. I'm not going to lie, they're struggling a bit with this teaser. So much so that they're actually making up names. They don't realise it, but some of the things they're saying at me aren't real people.
Well, just adding in a vowel after so, V.
This was sent in by Jerry and Erskine. If you've got any questions, if you enjoy it and you want to get your question read out, fulltime@clyde1.com. Looking for 13 Old Firm players since 2000 whose surnames begin with the letter V. I'll break it up for you. In Rangers, you've given me Van Bronckhorst, Wiedmar and Vignal. You've still got three ex-Rangers players to get.
Oh,
right?
No.
From Celtic, you've given Valharen, Venegar of Hesselink, Varga, Van Dijk, Virgo and Viduka, and you've still got one Celtic to get. Right? And any guesses that you've...
Something like Vinicom keeps coming in my head.
That's the one he keeps making
Vinicom
up.
Vinicom or something.
Vinicom.
No.
Vinicom?
I can categorically say Vinicom is not one of those answers. I've no idea what you're on about.
No.
Fair play on Twitter, by the way, because Andy Sawyers has nailed two of the difficult Rangers ones. No. Sonny Bean has nailed the difficult Celtic one that you've got as well. In fact, in Scott Montgomery, he's completed the set between them.
Rangers one.
We've got
was
all the
winger?
Remaining one. You've got three. What, you've got three. You've got three different Rangers players to get. Which one are you on about?
The one that begins with V.
Van somebody.
No.
Right. I don't like helping you out so early. Right.
Well, help us.
Of the four names you've got left, there are no more Vans. So don't worry about that. No, forget this Van. Right. You know, no Van Bronckhorst. Nothing like that.
Vetra Fitra.
I don't know what is going on. Mark is a Celtic fan from Aberdeen. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Just one very quick point about Graham Murty.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody think getting rid of Graham Murty is going to solve the problems? Think a bit harder. That was a solution to Warburton and Coutinho. But my main point is I want to talk about Monty and Celtic. As a Celtic fan, I really want them to invest this summer so that they're stronger for Europe and they start doing themselves credit there. So all the talk this week between the Gulf isn't between Celtic and Rangers, that last game we played. The Gulf you need to think about is the Celtic team that come out end of July and the Rangers team that come out at the end of July. And my question to the panel was, how much, if you can put a monetary figure on it, do you think that would take to bridge?
Now that is a question. I mean, how much would it take for the Rangers squad to be up there with the Celtic squad come the end of this summer?
It's impossible to put a number on that. There's a number of factors, not just about spending, say, because 20 million to bring in players.
You can get value. You can get great value somewhere.
£20 million worth of, I don't know, 6 or 7 players might not cut it in the Scottish game. We always go back to it. We've seen players come to Scotland and not really hitting the heights that they did at other countries. And you're right, Gordon. You might spend, I don't know, get free transfers or a player at a couple of hundred thousand who turns out to be an absolute gem. So it's impossible to put a number on that. It's going to be hard work, because it's not a long time from now to the end of July to get, if they're going to go for a new manager, might be a new coaching team, never mind new players. So there's a whole lot there that has to come into play, even without taking into account the playing side, before they can bridge a gap to Celtic.
You want to come back in on that one, Mark?
Hi, well, I know it's difficult to put an exact figure on it, but say to the nearest 10 million, that's quite a broad scope.
But 10 million, again, you need a coaching team and a scouting network to spend that 10 million wisely. You know, you can't just say, right, we'll go and buy 3 players at 2 or 3 million each, and that'll bridge a gap.
As a Celtic fan, Mark, what type of business are you expecting or wanting your team to do in the summer?
Well, I think there'll be two forces at play. One, guys that need to go. And for me, that's Boyata and the like. And guys that you need to replace because they want to go, you know, and that'll probably be Dembele. But for me, the problem remains goalkeeper and the centre-half.
The goalkeeper thing always comes up, but you're
going to have to go some to get a better keeper than Craig Gordon. I think that's just been proven in the last couple
centre
of years.
Centre half again is one that always comes up, and I think there's obviously more grounds for agreeing with Mark about that one. You see it, the amount of mistakes, and there doesn't seem to be a settled pairing. So I think Celtic have got good centre halves and Jack Henry and Chris Ayer. I think, you know, they could do better in that respect and bring someone else in, maybe an experienced one. However, the goalkeeper, it's going to be difficult to attract a young goalkeeper who's experienced enough to come in and challenge Craig Gordon.
Thank you to Mark, as a Celtic fan in Aberdeen. That's probably going to be the final call of the evening. Fair play to a few of you on Twitter, by the way. And this is where I have to explain the mindset of Gordon DL, and it's not easy, because of course people pointing out about Chris Vinicombe, who played for Rangers joined them in 1989 and left in 94.
Could they not have stayed on a bit longer?
The thing is, because the reason I'm watching you is you're trying to come up with this, and you were just spitting vowels at me and syllables. There's no way you knew that, and there's no way you thought that was one of the answers. You were just coming up with names. And anyway, it's not one, because he left in 1994.
But he played with Rangers, didn't he?
No. I've got one.
Have
one.
You?
Go for it. Hurry up then.
Gudgeon. Valiska.
Oh, big guy. Went that to a good one.
Did he go to Aberdeen?
Yeah, played with Hearts as well.
Aberdeen, yep.
That is a very good one. So you've got two more Rangers players to get and one Celtic, beginning with V, since 2000. So if you're telling me Van Vossen on Twitter, no.
Come on.
Mark, come on. The Celtic one.
What?
Who have we got in Celtic?
Should I get the Celtic one?
It's another defender.
Fata.
No.
We've got 2000.
Come on.
See, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm getting the hell for this guy.
And the thing is, you know, you've got Virgo, you've got Varga. You're not too far away.
Come on, Mark. You must have played with him.
No, I think it was a bit before Mark. Although I keep saying that and I keep getting it wrong, but I think this one definitely was.
Virgo, Varga. And
it kind of sounds like those two mashed up, kind of.
For God, my God.
Viagra.
Steady. That's a hard one, right enough. have you got? Yes. I think you played for Spurs as well.
Oh, that's easy. Roman Vega.
Right, the two Rangers ones. Come on, right. Gordon.
No chance. I'm gone.
Right, come on, Gordon, remember, you must know them.
Remember the season when Rangers were in the Championship and they lost the playoff to Motherwell. In the lead up to that playoff,
the lad from Newcastle.
Yes,
midfield player, big left foot.
Yes,
it's no fault.
Aye.
He was one of the Newcastle Five, as they became known.
Yeah, what was his name?
I don't know. Can't remember.
Oh no!
A good player anyway. scored go-
Yeah, scored, you scored goals, aye, big aye, left aye. Foot tip
yep,
player.
Quick, you're going to have to get it.
Nah.
Harris. Is his first name?
It's not Vukic.
Oh my goodness, Vukic. Vukic. Harris Vukic.
Vukic, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right, and the last one is Italian. Early 2000s. This is tough. This is tough.
Nah, I've no chance.
Italian.
Right, his first name's Paolo. Giving it away there. There's a lot of Italian people called Paolo.
Paolo.
Come
Paolo.
On, no, you must get this. 2003, I think he came to Rangers. Pfft. Italian. No? Okay. Beef. Vanoli. Paolo Vanoli.
Vanoli! What?
Thank you to Mark and Gordon. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Callum Gallagher's up next with songs from Kendrick Lamar and Bruno Mars.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.